Some small towns in the Midwest are growing due in part to an influx of new immigrants. That includes some who speak rare languages. Side Effects Public Media's Carter Barrett reports it takes some creativity to make vaccines accessible to those communities.
High school senior Miranda Sebastian speaks Chu. That's an indigenous Maya language, spoken by an estimated 90,000 people in Guatemala. Here, in Chu, she describes the information she shared at a local COVID-19 vaccine clinic she helped out with last year in the southern Indiana town of Seymour. Sebastian also speaks Spanish. The school's ESL director, Ana De Gante, translated for her as we spoke.
De que es bueno que uno haya ido en esa cita, ya que quizás les haya ayudado más.
She said also it is very important to continue use masks because our health is very important, and it's very important to know that this is something serious and that we need to take care of others.
In Seymour, some people speak both Spanish and Chu, but others, like Sebastian's mom, only speak Chu. Seymour is a growing town of about 22,000. In recent years, the town has seen more people immigrating from Guatemala. Over the past decade, the percentage of Hispanic or Latino residents here more than doubled to about 1 in 4. So when it came time to set up for a vaccine clinic, De Gante recruited some of her Chu-speaking high school students to help translate. She says some of them want to work in healthcare in the future.
They feel so good to be able to help. One of the students, Fabiana, says, that feeling means like, oh, I helped them. You know, I think they feel proud. I think they feel like they can be really great resource for the community.
Bethany Doherty heads the local hospital's efforts to engage with the town's Hispanic community. She launched a task force in 2020, initially aimed at distributing COVID information.
And just ask, what can we do? What education can we provide? How do we provide it? How do we make it accessible, understandable?
So they used WhatsApp, paper flyers, and eventually video messages. Doherty says they worked closely with local churches in the school district.
I think it coming from a source that's familiar to them, but with the trustworthy information, you know, from a hospital, it carries more weight when it's coming from a family member or a close friend that you trust.
Yvette Vasquez is on the Seymour Task Force. She's lived here for over 20 years. In Honduras, she was a medical doctor, but she can't practice in the U.S. Still, she's trusted in her town and says misinformation on platforms like YouTube is a big problem.
YouTube is awful. It's good, but sometimes it's misinformation. A lot of misinformation. I think when you educate the person in the right way, they are more open to accept the vaccination.
Some critics say immigrant kids shouldn't be expected to translate health information for their families or communities. Yamile Molina is an assistant professor studying health disparities at the University of Illinois at Chicago.
You know, there's a lot of conversations around children of immigrants, right, or of refugee families who have this really interesting dynamic where they suddenly become the interpreter, right? Mm-hmm. That can be challenging, that can be impactful for families.
But Molina said it's a nuanced issue, and perfect shouldn't be the enemy of the good. Molina says best practices for outreach to minority communities include efforts like the ones being made in Seymour. And if high schoolers are willing to participate and have people checking in on them, it can be mutually beneficial. At last summer's clinics, hundreds of Seymour's Hispanic residents, including many Guatemalan immigrants, came for the vaccine. The task force is now evaluating the need for a booster clinic. I'm Carter Barrett, Side Effects Public Media.